You notice that the title of what I intend to talk about today is Eternal Life. How? Question mark. If I was to go out into the community around, or to you here on the pole, in this church, and I would say, how does one reach the point of being ready for eternity? What responses would I get? Someone want to tell me? What would be the response from most people? Yeah, I gotta work hard at it. I gotta go and do this. Well, works are good, but only in their place. And their place only is after we've found God. After we have discovered a love for Christ and we live that life of love, then is when works becomes, in other words, works will never get us to heaven, but we'll never get to heaven without works. Understand? Sure you do. I want to read from Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 onward. The Son of Man will judge the nation. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hunger and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you tucked me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and tuck you in naked and clothe you? Or when do we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me, the sheep. Then he will say to those on his left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungry and ye gave me no food. I was thirsty and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. I was naked and you did not clothe me. I was sick in prison and you did not visit me. Notice their answer. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hunger and thirsty, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, and saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. The interesting part of this story is that they both worked. You notice that? They both worked. But the motive of one was totally different than the motive of the other. One did it out of love for Jesus. One, the goats, did it out of desire to be in heaven. Wow. Now let's go to the real how we can be saved. Someone tell me, the only reason that we're going to be saved? The cross, right? Jesus and the cross. Without that sacrifice, all of our works, no matter what our motives, would be of no avail. The story is told in Denver, Colorado. A physician examined a man whose life was fading away with no apparent cause. Couldn't find a reason. Although financially secure, he had no friends, no relatives, and was drifting out of a world, a bleak and desolate old man. When the physician could find no organ disease, he questioned the patient, and the man admitted he was dying of a broken heart. He said, I came out west. I better get back to where it's supposed to be. I came out here to die in peace and alone. My past is sealed in the shadow of a terrible crime. I am already dead to all who ever knew me, and over my nameless grave, not even a memory must hover. Are you a criminal? No, but I assume the stigma to shield an only son. He murdered a man, and I assumed the crime. Then I escaped, not to evade the law, but to spare my boy the disgrace of a felon's death. Not long after that, the physician continued, 12 years? Yes, 12 years. And you have been a wanderer ever since? Ever since, the man answered, his feeble pulse fluttering as the shadows grew more gloomy. Tell me more, the doctor whispered. That is all to tell. The next instant, he was dead. But he had died and left his secret and sacrificed his life in doing so. What that father did for his son, Jesus wants to do for each of us. And the scripture says, by his wounds, you are healed. Sacrifice. It's a great sacrifice. But a sacrifice could never compare to the sacrifice that Jesus made for me, for you. It's personal, very personal. When Jesus died, the greatest event in history took place. When he breathed his last and committed his spirit to God, the veil of the temple was split in twain from top to bottom, signifying that God had brought an end to all the sacrifice services of the Jews. Christ, the Lamb of God, had come, the heavenly antitype of the earthly symbol. But consider this. When Christ died, he had no visible friends. Yet by his act of supreme devotion, he has gained the friendship of millions. Today, in the known world, we have billions who are Christians and a new Jesus. When Jesus died, he was uneducated by worldly standards, having never attended the rabbinical schools, the university of his day. But through the ages, he has been the inspiration of the world's best educators. Colleges and universities have been established in his name and dedicated to his honor. He is now recognized as the greatest teacher that ever lived. When Jesus died, not one word had been written concerning his life and ministry. But since then, thousands of books have been written about him, and the world's greatest literature concerns him. When Jesus died, his enemies conceded that with his last breath, the world would forget him. But 3 days later, he came forth from the tomb. 50 days later, at Pentecost, thousands dedicated themselves to in favor of his cause. Today, Christ lives enshrined in the hearts of millions who worship him as Savior and Lord. When Jesus died, he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. Today, in churches on every continent, he is worshipped and revered as the Son of God and the Prince of Peace. When Jesus died, priests and rulers were all against him, but at Pentecost, a great company of priests accepted him as Lord and Savior. When Jesus died, all the world was against him. But the day is coming when he will return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and every tongue will confess that he is Christ, the glory of God the Father. the way of the cross. Song says, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. We're going to have Rowena sing for us now. We're glad that she can be back with us. She wasn't sure that she was going to be able to, but we're glad that she's here.
One day throughout the marketplace, a potter searched and roamed. He was looking for a vessel to purchase for his own. There were many bought before him there, all shiny, bright, and new. But he shook his head and told them, no, these vessels will not do. Bring me broken vessels, shattered pieces made of clay. Bring me broken vessels, once the world has thrown away. I will place them in God's able hands, and he'll make them over new. Just bring me broken vessels and see what God can do. I was so lost and scarred by sin until I realized, unless I sought the Master's touch, my soul would not survive. So I bought my vessel as it was and gave the Lord control. Now by grace I'm bound for heaven, and my vessel overflows. Bring me broken vessels, shattered pieces made of clay. Bring me broken vessels, once the world has thrown away. I will place them in God's able hands, and he'll make them over new. Just bring me broken vessels and see what God can do. Bring shattered pieces made of clay. Bring me broken vessels, once the world has thrown away. I will place them in God's able hands, and he'll make them over new. Just bring me vessels and see what God can do.
Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. How happy now the saints of God who once, when soaring here, they rest in joy, life's crown is theirs. They know no pain nor tears. They trod the path the Savior trod. They bore the cross he bore. And none may look to wear the cross, crown without the cross before. Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and there's a cross for me. Then help me, Lord, my cross to bear, till death shall set me free, and so at last obtain my crown. And there's a crown for me. Amen. Song that we this here is a song that I'm sure we've all heard, but it has such a story. It's beautiful. I heard an old story. You've all heard it, right? How a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented off my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, here I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. I heard about the mansions he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing an all redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me, here I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. John, back to John chapter 19. Jesus is in his last hours of this earth before his crucifixion, because we know that afterwards he comes back after he's risen and he spends some time with his disciples. John chapter 19, Myrtle read the first verses 21, or was it 17 through 27. I'd like to look at verses 28 through and to 30, 28 to 30. John chapter 19, verse 28 to 30. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now a vessel full of sour vinegar was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour vinegar, put it on hyssop, and put it to his lips. This next verse is the one I like for us to look at closely. So when Jesus had received the sour vinegar, he said, It is finished. It is finished. And bowed his head, he gave up the spirit. What did Jesus mean? Very quickly. What did Jesus mean when he said it is finished? How important was that statement? Come on. Talk to me. I don't hear you. That's it. Sure, his life was over and it is finished in that respect. But our life had just begun. The old plan, the old reason, the old, right from 6,000 years, well, 4,000 years at this point, from 4,000 years back until 2,000 years present, the whole plan of salvation hinged on this very moment when he said, it is finished. Why could he say that? How could he say that? Because he never sinned. He lived a perfect life as an example for us and as surety for our salvation. He died on the cross, and because of his death, we can live. Yeah, we're studying in the book of Job. Satan goes after Job, and Job doesn't sin, and so he's terribly upset over that. But he is very upset with Jesus, because Jesus went through the wilderness experience and never sinned. He went through the old plan of his life here on earth and never once sinned. Satan was defeated. Jesus knew that Satan was defeated. Jesus knew that our salvation was sure at this point if we accept him as our Savior. And he was able to say, "It is finished." Well then, this is from Desire of Ages, page 764. Well then, might the angels rejoice that they looked upon the Savior's cross. For though they did not then understand all, they knew that the destruction of sin and Satan was forever made certain, that the redemption of man was assured, and that the universe was made eternally secure. I like that. Not only the assurance of man's salvation, but the entire universe was now safe because Satan was defeated. Christ himself fully comprehended the results of the sacrifice made upon Calvary. To all these, he looked forward when upon the cross he cried out, "It is finished. I have done what God sent me to do." Through his power. Friends, we can do it too. We can do it through Christ's power. But only through Christ's power. So I ask the question again. Eternal life, how? You want to tell me? How? Through Christ's death on the cross. And our desire to follow in his footsteps, to have a love for him, and to do what he did here on earth, and that is to work with the people that we're in need. And we're all in need, whether it be physical or financial, or all of us are in need of spiritual. We're all spiritually need help. So I have one more little thing I'd like to read, and we'll close. When I think of my faults and my failures, when I consider all the times I've let God down, I am humbled by the grace he has extended. I'm amazed at the mercy I have found. I could never earn his love on my own, yet every time I come before his throne, I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I stand redeemed before the great I Am. When he looks at me, he sees the nail-scarred hands. They bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. Even at my best, I am unworthy. I have nothing precious I can give. A broken life is all I have to offer, and yet it is a priceless gift to him. A bitter mark of sin will never fade away, but I can come before him unashamed. I stand redeemed. By the blood of the Lamb, I stand redeemed before the great I Am. When he looked at me, he sees the nail-scarred hands. They bought my liberty. I stand redeemed. May God bless each one of us as we put our trust in him for victory in Jesus.